That's great. We'll sing one we know to warm us up, and then we'll try that one. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this loving bit of time that we've set aside to come into your presence, Lord. And I pray you please for, oh Lord, you know, for the service, for our time together now, for our loved ones that don't yet know you as Saviour, Lord, and for those that are absent this evening. Please put your hand upon Frank and Will and Colin, Pat and Steve. And Lord, for all those that have been and gone, for those that have dropped the ball, Lord, for those that have just, Lord, that just outright opposed you, even at this late stage, Lord, would you please restore them to fellowship and to walk and talk with them. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. And thank you, Lord, for not being done with us whenever you do. Please don't be done with us, Lord. Whenever you look into our hearts, I pray that you would find good ground. Not hard hearts, Lord, but good ground. We love you and praise you. Just ask that you would minister to our brethren, wherever they might be, edifying, chastening, comforting, strengthening, Lord, just our daily bread as far as our spiritual food goes. We love you and praise you, and we thank you, Lord, very, very much for loving us and for all that you've given us. And we leave our thanks and praise at your feet, Father, and pray that you would be one of our number as we spend this time in your presence, Lord. Amen. Okay, number 50 is going to be our second hymn of the evening. But for our first hymn of the evening, let me see. 138 is the Haven of Rest. 300 or 250. Number 50, peace, perfect peace. This is new to me. We're going to play a verse, just a blank verse, so to speak, and then we will jump in whenever the music machine gets to verse number 2. So this is peace, perfect peace.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though not So now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see in the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, to prophesy the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in him, signified when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that are preached the gospel unto them, unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he that which called you in hope is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God and raise him up from the dead and give him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with pure heart fervently. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.
I want to remind everybody of the little red prayer sheets. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to our list of things to pray for? Austria?
Yeah. I pray for the same. But does he go back to London?
Amen. Pray for Frank and his travels. There's an old saying, there is many as a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. And sometimes life could be quite uncertain, so please do pray for Frank. I pray that you would remember Norman and myself as we endeavour to get up onto the roof and get the bolts and nails that have perished over the years, the last couple of decades plus, and get them replaced with something that will last another couple of decades. Long enough for Norman to need to be somewhere else.
Me and him.
Anyway, please do pray about that. All the rest of the prayer requests are there. Please pray for Frank. We just pray for everybody that's not here. Frank, Colin, Will, Pat, and Steve. and don't forget to pray for each other. Bible does say, I remember saying these same words whenever the church had maybe 20, whenever the Holmes and the Edgars and the Robinsons were here, and saying, the Bible does say in the last days there will be a great falling away, but it doesn't have to be you. You do not have to fall away from God. God never changes, but we certainly do. But you don't have to fall away from him. So do keep an eye on yourself. Be a harsh judge of yourself. Make sure you're keeping yourself right with God, because whenever you, I was just sitting down there as Norman was reading, and I was thinking, isn't it great to know you can put your hand on something and depend upon? And even this past few nights, I've been doing a wee bit of a memory verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And whenever I waken up in the night and my head's going everywhere, I just start going through those verses, and it's very rarely I ever get to the end of the verses that I know before I'm asleep again. The devil might try and ruin your sleep, but the Word of God is something you can hold on to, and it is as good and as effective today as it ever was. I don't know about everything else in the world, the things that people say and the things that people do and promise, but they, goodness, they change almost daily. So it's good to know that and to be comforted by it. We appreciate the reading of it. We should study it. And don't ever be afraid to write in your Bible, to write little notes in it. The Bible's a toolbox. It's not an ornament. Someone once said, it's not for special occasions, it's bread for everyday use. But don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. I think that's about that. Is there anything else? We have our private prayer request, I take it, yes? Yep. Okay. You too, Lynn? Us as well. I'm sure Steve and Pat do as well. Okay. Any thanks? Anybody got any thanks? Anything God's done for you? For what?
Work.
Let me tell you. I'm thankful for, I was thankful for Christine's scones.
Yeah.
We have a bunch in the freezer. If we're ever caught out and we need to produce a supper, I think there's a kilo of butter in the freezer, I think. And there's maybe a dozen of scones, but need to get to those soon, because otherwise Norman and Neil have them all gone some afternoon whenever we're working. But we're thankful for that, and we're also thankful for the funds that Grace Bible has sent to us that will definitely pay off, I do believe, the rest of the work in the church. We just got a quote for doing just that 17 metres of guttering outside. One coat was £340, £20 a metre. That's what it was working out at. Another coat was £240. So we're looking forward to picking up the £240 coat from Thursday or Friday. But yep, thankful we've been fit to do the hard work. Looking forward to finishing it off ASAP and then getting down to the other work. Not just rebuilding the church, but running the church. So, thankful for all of that. For all your prayers, for all your contributions, for all your hard work. And everybody played a part. Everybody that's rolled up their sleeves or put money in the plate has played a part. And one other thing to be thankful for. Monica's dad is... has promised a steak dinner for everybody that turned up to wield the hammer or the saw. So that's a lot of steak you and me have to eat on.
yummy.
But anyway, that's for another day. We'll have our inauguration service, our rededication service, about 2 weeks after we get the work done outside of the church. That way we know, and we're not depending on the weather. But we can't really go up on the roof whenever there's thunderstorms and heavy rain, otherwise we'd be coming right down off of the roof again. But we do need to get up there to do work. So please do pray about that. Anything else? I can't think of anything else. this month.
Pray for me on Monday. I have a high court case at 10:30 in the morning.
That's the 20th?
Yeah. Really important to me, this one.
What time is it at?
10:30.
Do we care to give a few details?
No.
This is a very important court case that Norman has outstanding for 2 years now, I
think.
So please do pray for Norman and all the legal teams involved and for the other parties involved as well. This is, it's been long overdue. Okie doke. That it?
Yep.
All good? Thank you. Have a quick word of prayer and then we will continue. Your loving Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and for all that you've done for us. And Father, I get to come before you with a shopping list of stuff, but I just want to bring these prayer requests and petitions before you. A private prayer request, which you know, Lord. Pray especially for Frank and his travels. Pray for Norman and the up-and-coming court case, for all judges and legal teams and this, that, and the other. And even in that, Lord, that you would oppose wickedness and devilment and theft and lies, and that you would just bless and protect what's right, Lord. Pray for and thank you for Bonnie's surgery. And thank you too, Lord, for Grace Bible and her generosity. Thank you for Christine and her sending the snacks and one thing and another. And thank you for Monica, Lord, and the endless packed lunches she sends every week to keep Norman and me going. For all the prayers that have been offered up and for the monies that have been put on the plate. And Lord, we know that they haven't quite covered everything, but you have been good and you have been gracious. And I pray you please, Father, that you would continue until we're done. Please reach out into the local community, Lord. There's many a soul here that has attended church in the decades that have gone by, and I pray, Lord, please, for families and for those souls to be drawn back again. Please, Lord, guide our hands, keep the bad weather off us, please, Father. We know that you can calm the winds and the waves, and we know that you can certainly chase away the wind clouds. But most importantly, we pray for your work to be done. Just love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. We pray for our absent brethren, for your good hand upon them. And Lord, we ask all these things and pray for your will to be done, Lord, in our own lives, in the name of your Son Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. I have one more song that I would like to haven't sung this one for a wee while. Number 95 is "The Lord's My Shepherd." And if anybody has a favourite that they would like to, anybody but Charlotte, because she already got a favourite.
I don't think that's "The Lord's My Shepherd" that you think it would be. I think that one's in the black book.
Is it? Mm-hmm. You want one of those in the black book?
Number 5.
What's there? Okay. Number 5 in the black book.
My shepherd, I know.
sermon. Do you guys have a favorite that you would like for us to sing? This is Brad. I think we have two more slots. We have one now and one for the end of the service.
Number 13.
It feels like we're picking on you, Charlotte, but we're not really. Number 13.
We'll remain seated as we sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. That's a good old, good old.
And sat them in front of the Bible, and I very carefully ignored them and left the house without them on Sunday. And I thought, you know what, if I can't remember my sermon after reading it two or three times, thinking about it for hours and then typing it up, I'm in bad shape. So there you go. The only person that really lost out was Link. There you go. We are in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings in the Old Testament is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. And what I want to do this evening is I want to give you a little bit of old biblical history, and I want to do a little bit of a character study on the three main characters in this little portion of God's Word. And just by way of an example, that even though this was taking place maybe 4,000 years ago, people haven't changed a bit. I hope for you to see that. And there's many a lesson to be learned, and maybe even what you should expect from time to time, whenever you stand up for the cause of Christ. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I think there's about 34 verses. And I hope this will be a help to you. I have a title and it's called The Way. word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken, behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of God. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. And so he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, I shall eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the God came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come up the sepulchre of thy father. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet had brought him back from the way, from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he had cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil ways, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. This thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off, and destroy it from off the face of the earth. Amen. Right. Before we even look at this, a little bit of background. This is the fulfillment of a promise that God made to David because of David's bad behavior. David, who killed Goliath, he also committed adultery with a woman. And Solomon, he was quite bad too, but tends to be that people don't learn lessons very well whenever they're kings and whenever they're in power. But God had promised that the kingdom would be torn in two, and it would be split up, and Jeroboam became the king of Israel. That was 10 parts of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Rehoboam became the king of Judah, which was 2 parts of the 12 tribes of Israel. And all the way through the Bible, the kingdom of Israel was a very worldly, a very wicked kingdom. Very, very rarely did they ever have a king that obeyed God. I can't actually think of one just off the top of my head. Judah, on the other hand, had many kings that obeyed the Lord. They also had quite a few that disobeyed the Lord. But it, generally speaking, was the godly side of the children of Israel. So here we are, as we look at this portion of God's word, we have Jeroboam, who is the king of Israel, who is, as we open up, he is standing at an altar in a synagogue, maybe. I think it was because the two sons of the prophet heard and saw all that was going on. And he has been encouraging everybody in the country to behave like pagans. And that's just the long and short of it. He had dragged the country down and made it actually worse than the countries around about it because they knew better. Our first verse tells us that God sent a man from Judah. God literally put his hand upon someone, told him everything that he needed to do. And the only place that he could find a man to do that was in the two tribes that were supposed to be the godly part of the children of Israel. So he came from the godly part of Israel to speak to the ungodly part of Israel. And even as he did this, as he landed up by the altar, Jeroboam, this wicked king, was there. And this preacher stands up and basically says, a lot of trouble's going to come here. Sounds to me like there's going to be a clearing out of all the bad prophets. King Josiah is going to cause a reckoning. And he said, just in case you don't believe me, this is what's going to happen. The altar's going to be broken up and all the ashes are going to pour out of it. And pretty much as soon as King Jeroboam literally pointed at him with his hand and told the soldiers to kill him. His hand dried up. Basically, all his muscles and everything dried up and he couldn't pull his hand back in. So all of a sudden, he became a very humble man. He had to beg this man whom he had literally sentenced to death a moment or two later, please fix my hand. Would you please fix my hand? All of the soldiers couldn't fix him, and all of the gods that he trusted in couldn't fix him. He had to speak to the man who came to preach against him to fix his hand, which he did. And then the king said, by way of thanks, come to my house, and we'll get you some food and drink, and let you wash your feet in one thing or another. And the man says, I have been commanded by God. I am not to eat anything, I'm not to drink anything, and I'm not to go in anywhere the whole time I am in Israel. And I have to go home a different way to the way I came to Israel. I don't know why that bit was, but I am almost certain that God did not want for his man to dilly-dally or to dither and to not take anything that belonged to this wicked country. He came to deliver a message and he was told to go home. So that's what he did. And he headed off. Now there was another old prophet there, and I don't know why, but the Bible records that he lied to him. He said, God has sent an angel to me to tell you that you need to come into my house and get some refreshment. Now I'm sure he probably knew he was the prophet of God in that country, you would think. But he lied to him. And even as they were sitting down, God spoke through the old prophet and said, you were told to follow my instructions to the letter, but now because you haven't, you're going to die. Your body will never go home. And he got up after he had eaten and drank, and he started riding home, and the lion killed him by the way. But that was it. The lion just killed him. Didn't kill the donkey. Didn't go on a murderous rampage around the country. The lion stood, and the donkey stood on either side of the body, and the prophet was there dead. And the Bible records how the old prophet went and gathered him up and buried him in his own sepulcher. There are three people. Jeroboam, you have this man of God from Bethel, and you have the old prophet. And I want to give you a few thoughts on these men. And maybe you'll see it in people around and about you, and maybe you'll even come across the opposition that the man of God came across. But anybody can walk with the Lord. Anybody. Jeroboam had a bit of a checkered past. He was coming from a bit of a rough background. He was a very wicked king, even though he was anointed of God to take control of the country. He led the country on a very dark path. And even when he was confronted with the word of God, found himself even on the wrong side of God, and touched by the power of God, opposed by the very power of God, he was only humbled for a little while. It didn't cause a big change in him. In fact, he was more than happy to kill anybody that disagreed with him. Because he ordered the man of God to be put to death. And you're going to have people like that in life. If you ever stand up to be counted, if you ever stand up in opposition to the devilment and the wickedness and the lies and the thefts and the murders that are going on all around us, you are going to suffer persecution. Bible even records that their enemies might even be in your own house. It's sad that, but that's the way it is. And when you disagree with them, this man didn't come to point the finger and to do the wee na-na dance. You've ever heard of the na-na dance, have you? Na-na-na-na-na. You know that dance that children do and sometimes big people do too, just to make fun of somebody else that's wrong. He didn't come to do the na-na dance. He came to warn the people of sin and judgment to come. He came to tell the people that God's bringing judgment on the country. And all the king had to do was say, God, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And God would have forgiven him. Yes, there may have been some consequences, but many times in the Bible, God said, because you have humbled yourself, these things won't happen in your lifetime, but they'll happen in the next generation. Many times for men humbling themselves, you're going to be opposed when you stand for God. I don't know what way it's going to come, but you're going to be opposed. And these are the sort of people, most times it will be people that think they're important, people that think they have some standing in society and exercise power in society. They think, for some strange reason, that they're greater than God. And you might think, well, I don't know of anybody like that today. Well, I know of a whole bunch of people like that today, and they put themselves out as the most important people in the country, and they have dictated in direct contravention to God's teaching that it's okay for you to kill your little babies. And it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry men. Who do they think they are? Do they know better than God? They have out and out pretty much outlawed the preaching of God's word. And in fact, I think there was a fella up in Bangor that was arrested for preaching the word of God a few months back. You're going to come across opposition. There's two things you can do. You can give in to that opposition and say, oh, well, you're right. Or you can just stand there with God beside you and say, look, you're wrong. You're going against God. You're going to bring trouble upon yourself. I'm not coming up here to make you look bad, but I'm here to warn you that God is not to be trifled with. God is not to be messed with, regardless of who says it. If you ever get an opportunity to speak to a king, please tell them that God loves them and Jesus died for them on the cross and he wants them in heaven. And they need to repent of their sins and start obeying God. Take that opportunity and don't be afraid. The next character we want to look at is the old prophet. This man that had been the prophet in the kingdom of Israel for so long that he wasn't in the synagogue or wherever this altar was, that he wasn't standing up and saying, King, that's all well and good that you want to do that, O King, but hold on a wee second, God's word says something different. And really it would be in your own best interest to obey God's word. He doesn't even preach against evil anymore. There's so much of it all around the place. And it may have been that there was no fellowship. And it may have been that he tried to make a friend, but why would you base a friendship upon a lie? Which is what he did. You're going to come across these old ministers, these old religious people that are so entrenched in a fallen, a compromised, a backslidden religion, that they are not going to know their left hand from their right hand, and they're going to lie to you. You might think, that would never happen. Well, my old minister in Portadown Presbyterian Church told my brother that he didn't need to worry about getting saved. Everybody needs to worry about getting saved. Because until you get saved, you're going to worry about it for the rest of your life, and you're going to continue doing things to try and blank that worry out of your mind. And that is why we have such a plague of drinking and immorality and things to distract people from their eternities. You're going to find religious people will lie to you. How many churches have you ever sat in that never told you you needed to get saved? How many churches have you sat in that never told you that the word of God is inerrant? How many churches have you gone to that don't even use the King James Bible, but use other, they call them versions of the Bible, but they're perverted versions of the Bible? There's a little ditty, and I'm going to read it to you. Well, I'm not. I'm going to recite it to you from memory. It goes something like this: alas and alack for poor old Jack, because he is no more. For what he thought was H2O was H2SO4. I don't know if there's a chemist. I think one is water, H2O, and the H2SO4 is sulfuric acid. So he drank the acid instead of the water and he died. And it is important. All of the words in the Bible are important. And for them to be changed or removed can be eternally consequential. And they are, because so many people sit in so many churches and listen to so much false gospel, they don't even, it just switches their brains off. And in this case, it couldn't cause this man of God to lose his place in heaven. But it caused him to lose his place in this world. It destroyed him right away. And it may even have had something to do with his testimony. Because instead of going back home and landing safe and sound, listening to this false preacher caused his death. That doesn't mean that everybody that walks in through the doors of a church that doesn't preach from the King James Bible, that preaches a fair weather gospel, it doesn't mean that people literally die in their seats and they have to come out with a mop bucket to clear up all the guts and the blood at the end of the service. But those people are being lulled to sleep without salvation. They're being told that everything is okay, and they're killing people in the grand old ages of eternity. They're sending people to a Christless hell. And here and now, those souls that are saved are not being instructed and encouraged and strengthened and provisioned to serve God. They're killing their testimonies. And the next generation follows after that. So don't listen to compromised preachers. The last one I want to spend a minute or two on this evening is the man of God, the man from Judah. We see from the very, very beginning that he is a man of God, because only a few verses in there's miracles happening. He reaches his hand out, the king reaches his hand out to cause harm to the man of God, and he gets stopped in his tracks. To prove that he is who he says he is, that he is a man of God, and the things that he has said about the distant future are going to come to pass, something that he says about the immediate future does come to pass. And even as they stand there, the altar breaks in two and all the ashes pour out of it. Two miracles. When God called you to do something, do it. And when he explains to you the right way to do it God's way. And if God has strict instructions for you, and many times he does in his word, follow them. In this case, he was told to go to the altar, cry against it, give this prophecy, go home a different way, don't eat and don't drink. That's all that he was told to do. And he goes to the altar and he cries against it. He's a bit of opposition, but God deals with that miraculously. And even gives an occasion for the whole country to come back to the foot of the cross, and he goes home a different way. And he has got so much of his work done. It's amazing. He completed the lion's share of the work. But whenever he was going home, whenever the opposition was all gone, he took his eye off the ball for just a moment. And instead of listening to God, he listened to a compromised preacher. And it sunk him. The lion's share came back to get him. He became the lion's share. Don't, for heaven's sake, listen to any minister or preacher or religious person that says something different to what the Bible says. If you were to open the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, should even an angel of God come preaching a different gospel than the one I've delivered to you, let him be accursed. Even an angel. When someone comes bringing a different message, ignore them and have nothing to do with them. When God gives you instructions, and he will, follow them. God will not change his mind unless you change your mind. God is faithful, and he never changes. Many times you will read in the Bible how God speaks to whoever his representative is at the time, and he will say, he said to Moses, Moses, it repenteth me that I have brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. I will kill them all and make a great nation out of you. Because instead of following God, they were complaining. They were moaning. God doesn't change his mind. Whenever you're with God, you'll be blessed. You'll be tried and you'll be made. I think as Norman's reading was, you'll be purified like gold and silver. But whenever you rebel against God, you can be as certain of chastening as you can be of blessing when you're obeying him. Pursue God in your life. Search him out and follow him. And as you go, expect to see miracles, because miraculous things will happen. And it is crazy good to see God working in the background in people's lives and things happen. Keep the word of God in your mind. This man should have kept the word of God in his mind. Keep the word of God in your mind. And it doesn't matter who comes to you. If a king comes to you, keep the word of God in your mind. Because he is just a man like any other. If a religious person comes to you, keep the word of God in your mind. Because he also is just, or she is just, a man or a woman like any other. If a friend comes to see you, keep the word of God in your mind. If a stranger meets you, keep the word of God in your mind. If you are a child of the King of Kings, the only thing that is going to stand by you in this world that won't change yesterday, today, or forever, is the very word of God. One way or another, whether you obey God or disobey God, people will know that God was working in your life. I can guarantee you right now that that man wished that people spoke of the miracle that took place at the altar, the miracle that took place with the king's hand withering and then being restored again. And then how I came safely home. I bet that he was wished he was preaching that message. And it's all because he would say, I listened to the word of God. No, no, everybody else was talking about him. Do you remember the man from Judah that came and the altar was broken too and the ashes poured out and the king stretched his hand out against him and his hand withered? And then he pulled his hand, the man of God prayed and his hand was fixed again. And then the king offered him money and food and he said, no, the God of heaven has told me to eat nothing, drink nothing, and don't turn in anywhere but to get myself straight home a different way. And people will say, there was one of those lying, compromising preachers met him along the way. And that was the end of him. A lion killed him on the way home. You don't want to be that guy. God will get a turn out of his people one way or another. Be the person that people talk about that God bless because of your walk with God and your talk with God. Don't be the one that God chases. There are enough examples of Christians that have fallen flat on their faces, whose families have imploded or exploded, who have brought themselves to an early grave because of their rebellion. Don't be those people. I got to thinking about it. And it was all about the word of God. It's that that makes a difference. That man could have come from Judah and he could have just stood in the background and said and done nothing. But when he stood up with the word of God, things started happening. Don't be afraid to stand. There are people that are dependent upon you. It's interesting that the things that people do with the word of God. Some stand by it, some oppose it, and some use it for their own advantage. But the Lord goes to tremendous lengths to make sure that we hear it. In this country, I don't know how many Bibles I have in the house. Would there be 100? Maybe another 100 or more here. Boxes of John and Romans, the word that needs to get out for everybody. We need to hear the word of God. God has gone to so much trouble to make sure that we hear about the right way. What is the right way? That you personally go to God in prayer and ask him to forgive you your sins, that you're sorry for them, that you're turning away from them, and you're going to choose him as Savior. But I pray that you would. And it's all very well listening to this, but many times the lessons that we have from the Bible really only mean something whenever we come across those people in real life. And they say, that's what the pastor meant. That's what God meant. You're far better learning them here than learning them out in the world. I want to close with a little verse from Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 16. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We're not following man's instruction. You open your King James Bible, you read it, and make it a stick in your life. Follow God's instruction. That is the right way. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I appreciate you being good sports this evening and being out. I want to sing a song, by way of closing the service. Will anybody, is it your turn, Mrs. Bradfield, or is it Norman's turn? Pardon? Do you have a song for us, Norman? All right, Mrs. Bradfield. 364, which is
Standing on the Promises.
That's Stand on the Promises. 364.
Through many turn of ages, where is praise.
time. God bless you. Close your eyes and be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of an aside from the world. I pray that you would bless the reading and the studying of your word to us this day. And Lord, make it part of our makeup and our thought processes whenever it comes to dealing with folks. Lord, please supply our needs. Thank you for loving us and for giving us the freedom that we have. And I pray, Lord, even now, that you be one of our number and see us safely home. I just love you and thank you. Please, Lord, I pray. Just a reminder for our prayer requests in the up and coming days and weeks and months. Love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to